Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Open your Bible with me if you would. I hope you have it. If you don't, you can look on online, but it's Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're talking about strategies for success in 2020. And we believe that it's God's will for us to have His best and have His success for our life in 2020. And we're all in agreement for each other that this year is going to be different than last year. Maybe last year was great for you or not so good for you. Whatever, I declare this year is going to be better and this year is going to be different. And this year, oh my goodness, God is going to do some amazing things in our life together as a church and you individually. Amen, church. So we want to set ourselves up for success. So we're looking at strategies for success in 2020. And we said that that you and I, that real success, you know, real success comes from getting the right strategies from God. And there are a lot of things we could be doing. And we're not only going to start, we're going to continue with these new habits. Y'all remember, if you were with me last weekend, I told you there's a fitness app called Strava, S-T-R-A-V-A. And they did research on 48 million different people. And they said that they've come to this conclusion. They've tagged it in America that next Sunday is National Quit Day. National Quit Day. Seriously. And I had people after church last week say, Pastor, I've got that app. I know what you're talking about. I have that fitness app. And it's all about, they've declared that next Sunday is National Quit Day. Well, in the 11 o'clock service last week, we decided that we weren't going to wait till next weekend. We decided to quit last Sunday. And I didn't do it in the 9 o'clock. So I'm just going to quit today. I'm just going to make today National Quit Day for me and my house. Pastor, what are you on this morning? A sugar high? No. I'm going to quit every habit, every thought, every relationship that's going to hold me back from what God has a hold of me for. Come on, somebody. You see, what they're saying is the average person makes these new resolutions. They make these new goals, you know, because we should be goal setters. God's a goal setter. We found out, you know, Wednesday night, the Apostle Paul was a goal setter. And we should do that. But they found out that most people, by the 19th of January, give up because they say it's too hard. I don't see any fruit. I don't see any results. I'm giving up. I'm quitting. And so that's why they've tagged it National Quit Day, because most people quit their New Year's resolutions and goals by the 19th of January. Well, not for me in my house. How about your house? Not for this house. Come on, somebody. You got to make more noise for everybody that wanted to be here, couldn't get here today. Amen. So we're going to quit those things that are holding us back, for which God has a hold of us for, in Jesus' name. Amen. So look with me in Proverbs chapter 4, and we're looking at habits, and we know that our habits determine the direction of our life. We know that our future is hidden in our daily routine. We know that champions do things different than losers. We know the difference between a winner and a loser is not the color of their skin, it's their daily habits. It's their daily habits. A friend of mine said years ago that there's a bridge from where you're at to where you want to be. And that bridge is called habits. Habits. So we make our habits, and then our habits make us. Right, church? So we're looking at all this, brand new year, brand new decade, strategies for success. And there are all kinds of strategies that we could be sharing, but we've landed on what we thought was the most important, according to the Bible. And let's look at it, Proverbs chapter 4. Getting wisdom is the most important. Well, there it is. There's the answer. Pastor, you know, I'm trying to get physical habits, we should. Spiritual habits, we should. Mental habits, we should. Relational habits, we should. Money habits, Dave Ramsey, we should. But above all those habits, we need to make this the number one habit of every day getting God's wisdom. Amen, church? Because the Bible says it's the most important thing that you can get is godly wisdom. All right, Pastor, I got that. But you know, that's far out there for me. How do you define it? What is God's wisdom? Godly wisdom, here it is if you're a note taker, is simply listening to God. Now, it sounds simple, but we have so many voices today. We have so many voices with DirecTV and Dish TV and cable and the internet and social media. We got so many voices. I think it's got to be strategic. And we got to set aside a time, and we got to do it intentional, and we got to be on purpose, right? To get quiet and get before God and hear what he has to say. Kenneth Hagin, I can't quote anything better than this. Kenneth Hagin said the most important thing for a Christian, after you become a Christian, is knowing how to hear God's voice. So godly wisdom is listening to God, comma, and then applying what you hear him say. How cool is that, church? We can do that, right? Listening to God, turn off the television, turn off your computer, turn off your smartphone, turn all that off, get alone, get silent, get in solitude, slow down, and listen to God's voice for today. This morning when I got up to pray for you at 5:30, I was asking God what I've been telling you to do all month. God, I need wisdom for today. Hope y'all did that today. I need wisdom for today. Today. I don't want to waste today. I don't want to miss today. I don't want to limit God today. Don't let the weather limit God in your life today. Oh, I hope you heard that. Don't let others limit what God wants to do in your life today. Don't let small thinking, wrong believing, wrong relationships limit what God wants to do in your life today. So I've told you that a takeaway this whole month is every morning, number one, how you get godly wisdom is you ask. And so every day we're to say, God, I need wisdom for today to be successful spiritually, physically, financially, relational, my career, my education, my investments. God, I need your wisdom today. And then what do? We get quiet because you can't hear God and talk at the same time. So we get quiet, we get before the Lord, and we listen to hear what he has to say, and then we apply what he has said. Amen. So let's look at some benefits, chapter 3 of Proverbs, chapter 3, why we need to make this our number one strategy for success. Happy, and boy, I want y'all happy. We should be the happiest people in St. Louis. Yeah, we should. Happy, blessed, not stressed. I don't want you stressed as your pastor who loves you. I want you blessed. I want you to live the highest level of life that God has for you. So happy, Pastor, I want to be happy. I'm depressed. Like Pastor Kim said, maybe you're dealing with some things in your mind that actually you're mentally ill and handicapped. And a lot of that's going on today, my brother and sister. And you say, how can I get set free? Oh, I got these things in my head. I can't seem to get out of my head. I'm giving people, places, pressure, problems in my head. I'm taking drugs and alcohol. I'm doing all kinds of these addictive behaviors, Pastor, because I can't get it out of my head and I'm going crazy. Pastor, what should I do? Get godly wisdom. Pastor, the pressure at work, I have panic attacks. What should I do? I'm helping you. Get godly wisdom. God knows the chemical deficiencies in your body. God knows the strongholds. God knows the patterns. God knows the habits and the hang-ups. God knows the experiences he went through, incest, rape, adultery, deception, heartache, brokenness, divorce. God knows all of that. God knows why we are and where we are. Come on, somebody. This is a word for somebody. God knows why you are the way you are, and God knows where you are today. And guess what? God is for you. And how do I find out? Get godly wisdom. We're solving every problem under the sun at Church on the Rock this month. Happy, blessed is the man or the woman who finds godly wisdom. And then he goes on, verse 14, for the gaining of it is better than any other thing that you can be in quest for. Next verse, godly wisdom is more precious than rubies and diamonds and gold and material wealth, material things. Nothing can be prepared to your time and my time getting quiet before the Lord every day once we ask him, God, give me wisdom for my marriage. Give me wisdom. My kids are driving me crazy. Give me wisdom to overcome this addiction in my life. God, give me wisdom for success in 2020. Nothing is compared to that. It goes on, next verse, length of days in your right hand. So here's a benefit. Everybody say benefit. Here's the benefit, long, strong life. Wouldn't that deal with your physical part of your life today? Mentally, physically, it would deal with all of that. God knows when doctors don't. God knows when nurses don't. God knows when you don't. God created you, and he knows what's going on in your body today. Wow. And godly wisdom will extend your life. So notice there are things that I can do that will shorten my life. And there are things that I can do that will lengthen my life. Ooh, I like that. And in your left hand are riches and honor. If you're taking notes, there are seven things here. Everybody say seven benefits of getting godly wisdom. Wow. Next verse, verse 17. Her ways are highways of pleasantness, and that's shalom. Remember that, family? Shalom. And that means nothing missing, nothing lacking. We have a ministry every Thursday night called Celebrate Recovery. I was talking to somebody, a friend of ours and a member of our church. Kim and I were out to lunch this week, and one of our members came up to me, and I said, how are you doing? And she said, well, not so good. Today's been rough. It's a one-year anniversary of my father's death, and I'm struggling with stuff. But then she looked me in the eyes, and she said, but tonight, Pastor, I'm going to Celebrate Recovery at Church on the Rock. Tonight, I'm going to celebrate. What was she saying? I've got a family. I've got a small group. I got relationships that will help me through my pain. I've got some relationships. I've got some people that will help me. You see, what happens is when you and I have a need that's unmet in our life and we don't go to God, then we go to addictions. When there's something missing in your life and you don't run to God with it, we run to alcohol, we run to status, salary, sex, we run to things we shouldn't run to. When there's unmet needs in our life and we try to get our husband or our wife or our parents or our boyfriend or our girlfriend or our career or even our ministry to fulfill that need, wow, then we are dysfunctional. We need to run to God with all of our unmet needs today because he's the only one that can meet all your needs. Can we have a praise break? Oh, come on, let's thank him. Come on, give God your best praise. Amen. And her path are peace. Not panic. When I'm panicking, I'm out of the will of God. And I know what it is to have a panic attack. Many of you heard my story years and years ago. Here I am telling a story. I was on my way to the Dream Center to preach. I was on my way to Los Angeles to preach at the Dream Center. It was in the wintertime, and I got on a plane here at St. Louis. I'll never forget it. Daniel was with me, and we were leaving at night, and it was dark, and we actually had to sit on the runway because it was kind of a day like today, and there were ice, and it was getting ice on the wings, and so we had to sit in that plane for a long time. And how many of you know I got claustrophobic right there sitting there? And there's all kinds of things that were happening, and all of a sudden, I had a panic attack. I had never had a panic attack. I wanted out of that plane. I tried to get out of that plane. Seriously, the stewardess had to hold me down and hold me in my seat. I'd never experienced that before. You know, if you have ever had one, you don't know what it is. I pray you never have one. But if you've had one, you can identify with people who have them. And the good news is I've never had another one since. Never had another one since. I had to try to come back, but I've never had another one since. Well, what's the key? Godly wisdom. And notice God's will for our life is not panic, it's peace. Come on, somebody. It's peace. Amen. And that's a word for somebody. You're in a storm today. God's got peace for your storm. Next verse, verse 18. She's a tree of life. She is referring to wisdom because in the Hebrew it's a feminine term. She is the tree of life. What's that, Pastor? We found out it's desires and hopes. I hope you hope big this year. You hear me say, the curtain's coming down, every seat is full, we're expanding our ministry, we're launching out and helping more people, we're going to do more this year. Well, that's my hope. I hope you have hope. I got hope for my family, I got hope for my friends, I got hope for you, I got hope for our ministry. You know, God wants to give you the desires of your heart, and the hopes of the righteous will come to pass. Are you hoping? Are you desiring? Are you thinking big? Are you believing big? Are you expecting this year to be different than last year? I think you are. Amen? So we see there were seven benefits, and we've looked at that. But I share that because, you know, you need to know what to expect for this year. Strategies for success. So then we found out, if you're a note taker, Pastor, how do we get it? We said, number one, that you ask God for wisdom daily. Y'all remember that? You ask God for wisdom daily. And we found out that if you ask him, he'll give it to you. Now, what is that? Listening to God, listening to his voice, and then applying what he says. Number two, how do you get this godly wisdom? The strategy, the number one strategy for success is, what do you do? Is that you meditate in God's word day and night, night and day. Because God's word is God's wisdom, church. God's word is God's wisdom. And it said we're to do it day and night. If you were with me last weekend, I said you have bookends of your day. Bookends, yeah. How you start your day, how you finish your day. Those are the bookends of your day. Never go to bed at night. Last thing you do is listen to the news. Never do that. Or eat pizza. Never do that. You know, the bookends of your day, how you start your day, how you finish your day. The Bible says, David said, the psalmist, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I will praise the Lord. Wow. So we looked at that last weekend. Then number three, a third way of getting this godly wisdom, the number one strategy for success this year, is choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends who you run with wisely. Don't run with gossipers or liars or deceivers or people who are moody. Now, we love those people. We'll minister to them, but we're not to run with them. Moody people can't be trusted. Moody people will never be promoted to leadership. They're up and down. They're unstable. We become like those that we're around. So we found out, and I shared with you a few weeks ago, how to select the right friends. What are they having you read? What are they having you listen to? Where are they taking you for recreation? What are they saying to you about other people behind their back? I gave you some characteristics. Now today, I want to land on the fourth key, the fourth step of action on how to get godly wisdom, which is the number one strategy, the number one. Now, we've talked about others, wove it in and out of our messages this month, and we'll talk about more throughout the month, but I landed here predominantly because this is the most important we found out in the Bible. Am I right, church? Getting godly wisdom. So how do you get godly wisdom? Number four, you get godly wisdom by developing a healthy fear of the Lord. You get godly wisdom by developing a healthy, what? Fear of the Lord. Oh, this is going to help somebody today. So you might be new to our church, or you're watching online, you wanted to get here, you couldn't get here today, and you say, the fear of the Lord, I see that in the Bible, Pastor, but what does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean a negative fear. It means a positive fear. You know, I grew up, my mom and dad, when I was a little guy, I'm talking about when I was in kindergarten, grade school, this is before my mom and dad got born again, before I was born again, before we went to church, and every Saturday night, they would have their friends come over. And those kids, my friends, and they come over, they play canasta, okay? They drink and do bunch of smoke and party, and they would play canasta. So I'm growing up, I'm a little kid, first, second, third grade, and their kids would come over, and then they'd put us in the living room away from them, and I always look forward to that Saturday night because, number one, they would let us have Pepsi in a bottle. Y'all remember Pepsi in a bottle? Y'all remember 16-ounce Pepsi in a bottle? Come on, hooray. And then we'd have popcorn and pizza and we'd party. But then we would watch, it was Saturday night sci-fi. Saturday night sci-fi movies way back there in the early 60s. Saturday night sci-fi. And you know, we'd look forward to that because, you know, it would scare the pants off of us. And today we watch them, we say, how hokey is that? Last night, you know, we couldn't have church. We didn't have church. So Kim and I were at home, and she was doing something on her smartphone, and I turned on television, and they have Sky-Fi on Saturday night still. And so I turned it on last night. And guess what it was? The return of the creature from the Black Lagoon. Wow. Now, I don't think it was as good as the first one. The first one I really liked, The Creature from the Black Lagoon. I can remember, and I watched it last night. Kim said, I can't believe you're doing this. And it was nostalgic. It was vintage. Come on, somebody, identify with you. And it was nostalgic. And I actually went and got a Pepsi last night. Praise God. And we had pizza right there. Whoa, man, praise God. Vintage. And I watched that. And that used to just scare the pants off of me. And last night, I'm just laughing. Look how hokey that thing is. I mean, goodness gracious. Well, I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about a healthy fear of the Lord. Now, let me give you a definition. This is so huge. The definition of the fear of the Lord is submission, devotion, and obedience. The fear of the Lord is submission, devotion, and obedience. Now, my brother and sister who are new in the Lord, and you're my new friend, and you're online or you're here today, here's how you grow in God. And I want you as your pastor to grow. I see too many Christians not growing. They're not growing. They're still dealing with the same old giants year after year after year. They're still just struggling to get by. And my desire as your pastor, I want to see you grow. And bottom line, you and I cannot grow without surrender. It takes surrender to God every day. Every day of our life, not my will, but God, your will. This is how the Christian grows. I've been a Christian for over a half century, 50 years, and this is what I know. If I'm not surrendering, I'm not growing. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And to fear the Lord means submission. Can you see that with me? Submission. And number two, it means devotion. I can't grow without devotion. Setting my affection on the Lord, making him number one, putting him first. Whatever he says, do it. And by the way, that's the key. That's the prescription for a miracle. Whatever he says, do it. The first miracle that he did, what? Was turning water into wine, right? And what did his mother Mary say to all those in the house? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Isn't that wisdom? Listening to God and then applying what he says. Pastor, I need a miracle. I just told you how to get it. Pastor, I need a miracle in my marriage. I just told you how to get it. Pastor, I need a miracle at work. I just told you how to get it. Pastor, I need a miracle in my finances. I just told you how to get it. How do you get it? Whatever he says, just do it. That's wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Am I helping anybody today? And so the fear of the Lord is not like me when I was a kid, scared of the creature from the Black Lagoon. Is the fear of the Lord is reverence and respect. The fear of the Lord that you and I want to develop, this is our takeaway, is surrender. How are you doing on your marriage? Are you surrendering to God or are you fighting, arguing, making excuses? How are we doing in the area of our finances? Are we tithing? Oh, you knew I go here, didn't you? Are we tithing? Are we how are we doing in the area of serving in the house of the Lord? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that's the number one success strategy for 2020. And the fear of the Lord is surrender, number two, devotion, and number three, obedience. And without that, my brother and sister, we can't grow. And I know Christians, not in our church, I know Christians who've been saved for 40 years, and they haven't grown. They're still babies. They're still carnal. They're still dealing with all kinds of stuff that children, babies, little kids deal with. Amen, church. But you and I, as for our house and this house, we want to grow. Right? And so whatever God tells you and me today, we're going to surrender. Okay? I know you are because y'all came out to church today. We're going to surrender. And then we're going to develop a healthy devotion. And then whatever he tells us, we're going to obey. And that's when a marriage grows, a ministry grows, a career grows, relationships grows, brings spiritual growth. Okay, so go ahead. Give the Lord a praise for that. So let's look at it. I sure do love you. And you know what? I just feel like locking the doors and not letting you go. That scares me, Pastor. Well, no, I won't do that. Proverbs 8:13. Let's look at some scripture. Proverbs 8:13. Because I want to make sure I'm telling you the truth, okay? The reverent fear and worshipful awe of the Lord includes. So the fear of the Lord, yes, it's surrender. And yes, it's devotion. And yes, it's obedience. But scripture interprets scripture. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Wow. The fear of the Lord, for all you that wanted to come, couldn't come today. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Wow. So the more that I grow in devotion to God, the less I want to sin. The less that I want to do evil and be a part of evil. Yeah, but Pastor, this is new to all of me. And you know, evil's fun. I get it. You know, Pastor, you know, I don't know if I want to go all in with God because, you know, evil's fun now. Well, the Bible does say there's pleasure in sin. Thank you. Somebody filled in the blank for me right there. You do know that, right? There's pleasure in sin. For a season. Only for a season. Well, why should I hate evil? I mean, everybody else is doing it, Pastor. This is what I heard from my kids when we were growing up in church. They'd tell me, well, Dad, all the other kids at church are doing it. I says, what's that mean? That means diddly squat. You know, everybody else is doing it. Well, what does that mean? I don't want to be everybody else. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be average. I don't want to blend in. I want to stand out for Christ. Amen. I want to be unique and I want to be different. I want to be set apart and I want to be a champion. And they always do extra. So you know, it's so important then. What does it mean? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Why should I hate evil, Pastor? Let me give you some reasons. Can I? Number one, it's destructive. It's destructive. Wow. It's destructive. Doesn't the devil come to steal, kill, and sin? Evil is destructive and is corruptive. It will corrupt a home and destroy a home. It will corrupt a life and destroy a life. The wages of sin is death. So the fear of the Lord is how I tap into the wisdom of the Lord and the wisdom I need to be successful in 2020. And the fear of the Lord is to surrender, devotion, and obedience. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Well, why should I hate evil? Well, because it's destructive. Right? Number two, because it opens the door to the devil. It opens the door to the devil. Sin, as a Christian, we all sin. I sin. We fall short. Come on, somebody. I sin, you sin. We fall short. Right? We got the problem of falling shorts. We all fall short, you know. But the thing is we sin less than we used to. And every week we're sinning less. Come on, somebody. And the problem is, as a Christian, sin will not keep you out of heaven, but it will open the door to the devil to come in and ravage, steal, kill, and destroy your marriage, your children, your money, and your health. So that's why we should hate evil. It's destructive. Number two, it opens the door to the devil, gives him ground. And number three, there are more than this, but because God hates evil. And if my Father hates it, I hate it. Yeah. So that's a cool scripture. Ecclesiastes 12:13. We still okay? I don't want to give you too much content, but I think you like content, don't you? I mean, you came out for the word, didn't you? And fellowship, right? And fun. All has been heard. The end of the matter is this. This is Solomon now. All has been heard. And the end of the matter is this. Number one priority is fear God. Wow. Solomon, wisest guy that ever lived outside Christ. No king like him before him or after him. Remember when he was worshiping God, we started off our series with this. Remember when he was worshiping God, God showed him and said, what do you want me to give you? Do you remember that? And Solomon said, not riches, not wealth, not favor. Don't destroy my enemies. One thing I want is wisdom. Wow. And so look what he says. The end of it is this: fear God. Well, Solomon, what does that mean? Revere and worship him. Know who he is and obey his commandments. For this is the whole purpose of human beings, is to fear God. And notice this, that's the root of a good character. Fear the Lord. People who don't fear the Lord, can I do a Fred Price? Get mad at Fred. People who don't fear the Lord, what? Don't have a foundation for good character. Can't trust them. Okay, moving right along. That didn't go over good, God. Let's try another one. Psalm 112. You'll like this one. I'm hustling. Psalm 112. I love this. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed, happy, fortunate is the man or the woman who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, and they delight greatly in the word. Well, what's the benefits? If I want to shun evil and fight evil and resist evil because it's destructive, it's corruptive, it opens the door to the devil, gives him ground, and God hates it. Well, I want to know some benefits, God. Okay. Next verse. He says in verse 2, your children will be mighty upon the earth, and your next generation will be blessed of your family. So notice this, if you're a note taker, number one, a benefit of fearing the Lord is a strong family. Wow, a strong family. Number two, a great legacy. Your kids will be, and the next generation of your family will be blessed and live the best life. Oh my goodness, that's worth it right there, isn't it, church? Oh, I love that. And one more verse, verse 3. What's the benefit? Prosperity. Oh my goodness, so getting up and sliding to church today, well, what's the reason for it? Well, because God said, assemble yourself together. Okay, and what can we expect? The presence of God. What can we expect? Signs and wonders. What are we going to have? Fellowship with our brothers and sisters. We need a spiritual family. What are we going to get? A right now word. A right now word. What can we expect? What God promises in his word. Amen. And what does he say? A prosperity and welfare are in your house. So your family will be strong and your finances will be strong. Oh my goodness. Our family will be strong and our finances will be strong and your righteousness will endure forever. You'll have a legacy and be remembered for good stuff. Isn't that cool? A couple more benefits of fearing the Lord. Now, I forgot already as the team comes out. But what does the fear of the Lord mean? It means, number one, to surrender. Number two, to devotion. Number three, obedience. Wow. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the foundation for all good character. Oh, my goodness. Let's look at another couple more scriptures. I like this one. Psalm 34, verse 7, benefits of fearing the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that, and he will deliver you. Oh, my goodness. What does the fear of the Lord do? It not only gives you a strong family, not only gives you strong finances. Number three, it gives you strong protection. The angel of the Lord. Y'all do know you have angels, right? A year ago today, this very day, in St. Louis, we had another snowstorm and ice storm. Pastor Kim and I were coming to church, and we had a wreck and basically totaled out her truck on the way to church a year ago this Sunday morning. So I'm here to tell you, it works. The fear of the Lord will encamp around about you and will protect you and your family. That's why I need to put God first. That's why I need to hate evil. That's why I need to surrender to God today. That's why I need to grow in my devotion and obedience, because I want my family strong, my finances strong. I want a legacy, and I need my kids to have protection over their life. Ooh. I got one more, okay? One more. Next scripture. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints at Church on the Rock. And y'all are doing it. You're doing it great. Fear the Lord, all ye saints, for there is no lack. No lack. Now, I don't want to just talk about finances here, because we've already covered that. No lack of joy. No lack of peace. No lack of comfort. No lack of friends. No lack of security. no lack of future, no lack. For those who what? Put God first, like y'all are doing today. Who fear the Lord. That's number four. That's how we tap into the wisdom of God. And that's the number one success for strategy for this year, for you and I to have God's best, yeah, and live at God's highest. Did I help anybody today? Give the Lord a praise if you got something today. Come on, let's praise Him.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.